Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first quarter earnings call from CESP, the São Paulo State Power Company. This event is being recorded. After the company's presentation, there will be a Q&A session for analysts and investors. If you need assistance, please press star zero for an operator. The link for the webcast is at www.ricesp.com.br. The presentation can also be downloaded there. All the information presented is in Brazilian currency according to the Brazilian legislation and the BRGAAP, the Brazilian Generally Accepted Accounting Practices, in conformity with IFRS, except when stated otherwise. Any statements are based on business perspectives, financial and economic projections. They represent the company's management's beliefs. Future considerations are not performance guaranteed. They involve risks and uncertainties. Investors must understand that general economic conditions, among other factors, may impact the company's performance that may lead to results that are completely different from those expected in such considerations. Mr. Mario Bertoncini, CEO, Marcelo Jesus, CFO, will be conducting this call. Turn over the floor to Mr. Mario Bertoncini now. Thank you for attending. Let's get started with our earnings call. I'd like to show you the first quarter highlights. I'd like to start by pointing out this quarter's highlights, our liabilities. I'll be talking about the energy market and our commercial strategy. And then I'll turn over to Marcelo Jesus, our CFO. He'll be talking about the financial performance of the company. And then I'll be talking about some points of our ESG agenda, and that will conclude this first portion of this call. We will then have a Q&A session. On to slide four. These are the Q1 highlights. As far as operations go, we did very well. Energy generation amounted to 870 megawatt average, according to the centralized dispatch standards. There are no restrictions whatsoever. Our availability level was 95.8. That's the availability index. Consistently above reference values from ANEEL. This was yet another quarter to adopt COVID protocols. Operations are at our level one of contingency, which is somewhat milder. All operations are running according to plan and corporate functions working from home. As to our financial performance, our adjusted EBITDA amounted to 282 million reals. Cash generation was 172 million reals, 61% of the adjusted EBITDA. This generation, just to remind you, after the service of the debt, three events are remaining. The main portion, that's before dividends and before what we allocate for the contingent liabilities. I'll be talking about that contingent liabilities. This third quarter, we reduced the probable contingent liabilities, 229 million. In nominal values, after that adjustment, we have maintained the total contingent liabilities. I'll give you further detail later on. As to our commercial strategy, this was a challenging quarter when we talk about the balance exposure and its management. despite these difficulties, we had prices 6% lower when compared to Q1 2020. The major challenge was our GSF. It will remain challenging throughout the year, and I'll give you further detail. We started in Q1, we started diversifying our client portfolio. I had already anticipated that. So we have moved forward substantially in that regard. We are already offering our environmentally certified energy. We are one of the first hydroelectric power plants to offer certified energy in this fashion. Moving on to page six now. This is the contingent liability. On the first chart on your left, the bar chart on the left, you see the amount of cases that were settled in December 2020, in the end of Q4 of 2020. As you can see, we were at 10.2 billion reals. That was the total contingent liability. The first quarter, we've had adjustments of 411 million reals, and that has to do with the variability in price consumer index. That variation was about 8% in the quarter. That's why we have this additional burden when we adjust these prices. And throughout this quarter and in the initial portion of April, we have managed to reach a conclusion. We made adjustments, and we settled in the amount of 373 million reals. That's the two bars together. So we had a pro forma, an adjusted pro forma for mid-April, our contingent liability amounting to 10.2 billion reals, almost stable when we think about nominal terms when compared to the previous quarter. Despite that IGPM, the price consumer index adjustment, the best results were in the probable liability variation, the portion that is 100% allocated. That's the chart in the middle of the page. In that category, we managed to bring that down to 1.6 billion, 1,584 million, major decrease when compared to the previous quarter. As to the profile of that liability, there were no major changes. The pie chart on your right shows that tile companies, so cases related to tile companies, amount to 35% of our total liability, contingent liability, of course. Then fishermen, two major cases at 28% of the portfolio, and the remainder is miscellaneous of cases. Starting with civil cases, they are not tile companies, neither nor fishermen. And there's some tax and one environmental case that falls within that contingent liability. In conclusion, for this slide, we managed to bring that down, 373 million that I showed you, the total contingent liability for the quarter, with reimbursement or commitments for future disbursement of just 10 million. Very good performance indeed. On page seven, this is the active contingent liability of Três Irmãos. Just like we said yesterday in that material fact, we had a recourse at the higher courts, which did not accept our injunction, did not grant that injunction favorably. So that was, we did not have a good result. Therefore, it was an unfavorable result for us. It does not affect the main case that is still in lower courts. We're just waiting for the appointment of a new expert. He or she will replace the previous expert because he or she passed away, rather. We're just waiting for that appointment from the judge, and then we'll conclude that legal expert report. Moving on to page 9. This is the energy market. That was very challenging indeed. This is what we're going through right now, especially in the hydroelectric power plant segment. It has to do with the rainy seasons. What you see on your left on page 9, we've had time and time again having dry seasons. In late last year, the ANE, the affluent natural energy for the country, it had been below previous levels on a regular basis. December 2020, it's somewhat the same thing applied to 2019. And at the turn of the year, we haven't had any changes. It's a very dry scenario. January, February, March, with its ANE levels way below those of last year. This chart was the fourth worst season in the past 91 years in the country. This is substantial. This dry scenario was worsened, especially in southeastern and the Brazilian Midwest, what you see on the right. That's the stored energy levels in the southeastern and midwestern subsystem. At the end of first quarter, the stored level is 35%. In the past 11 years, it's only better than that of 2015. So it's a very dry picture, therefore. As a result, we have a burden on our GSF. CCEs, in the past 3 days, they announced the revision of the GSF for the year to 78%. That will impact prices for the first quarter. They've already been heavily impacted in the first quarter, but also for prices throughout this year. On to page 10 now. This is the energy balance. As to the first quarter, as I've said before, we managed to pay very close attention to mitigate risks. We managed to balance that energy matrix at prices 6% lower, despite the drought, especially when we compare to the first quarter of 2020. This is a breakdown of our energy balance for the entire year. Chart number 1, the dotted line is the physical guarantee already adjusted for the GSF. The black line is the physical guarantee, and the dotted line is the adjusted. Chart number 2, you have a comparison of that adjusted, GSF adjusted guarantee with energy effectively or actually sold. That's the red line, chart 2. And the original exposure, that's the short exposure. On chart number 3, you see how much that exposure has been balanced and for what price or at what price. The bar, white bar, is the original short exposure. The gray bars, that's the energy already acquired for the price on the dots on top of the chart. And chart number 4 is the result. You can see the energy balance is almost leveled for this first semester. And then after the first quarter balance, you have a surplus for the second quarter. And that exposure is highly concentrated on the third quarter. And we've been working to mitigate that risk based on the best commercial strategies. On to page 11. This is the overall commercial strategy. As I said, this first quarter marked the beginning of that strategy I had already mentioned previously, which was to develop new markets, to expand and diversify our customer base. That's very important. We have already started modernizing the technical architecture in our commercial area. We've been automating systems, resorting to robots in some cases to perform analyses. We have managed to offer our environmentally certified energy by our IRX. It's been very well embraced by some important customers. And finally, the management of hydrological risks. As I said, this is going to be a very challenging year as to hydrological and market risks. And that should be our focus to be able to balance that energy. I'll turn over to Marcelo de Jesus now. He'll be talking about the financial performance of the company. Thank you, Mario. Good morning, everyone. Let me talk about the results of the company. That's on slide 13. That's the variation of the adjusted EBITDA. In Q1 2020, it was 336 million. And in the first quarter of 2021, that was 282 million reals, a 16% reduction, or 54 million reals. This is driven by the reduction of energy margins. We had an revenue increase of 216 million due to price increases, more sales volumes through those contracts, and more sales at the trade level. On the other hand, despite the worse GSF, which was 86.6% when compared to the previous or the first quarter of 2020 of 103%, that demanded more energy purchase, 361 million mega average compared to 172 in Q1 of 2020. A 110% increase. Nonetheless, we managed to reduce the average purchase price from 221 reals in Q1 2020 to 208 reals per megawatt hour in this first quarter. On top of that, there was a major variation of 3 million reals in operational expenses that is explained by the energy contract realizations. In the first quarter last year had a positive variation of 25 million, but this quarter there was 19 million. And also because of the increase of third-party services of 2 million reals. These services are consulting services for our digital transformation services and ESG. Moving on to slide 14 now. This is our cash flow. Our operational cash flow was 172 million reals. That is the equivalent of a 61% cash conversion ratio. It was not only big, it wasn't bigger because it was impacted by income tax withheld at source for equity, interest on equity distribution. If not for that case, it would be closer to 70% that's what we had in the previous year. Finally, on slide 15, this is our capital structure. As you can see, it's robust. Our leverage ratio is a little over 1x net debt and EBITDA ratio. We do not have amortization on the short term. 75 million in 2022 to 2025. And then other payments only in 2028. So that is a very comfortable position as to the cash management of the company. I'll turn over back to Mario. He'll be talking about ESG and the company's purpose. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you, Marcelo. Now, page 17. This is the social aspect of our ESG agenda. In 2020, we managed to close an important phase. There was an inclusive social environmental diagnosis. We conducted that analysis in 12 cities where we operate. That involved over 200 participants, several workshops, and then we were able to collect very relevant information to come up with the high-impact social agenda for 2021 and beyond, but it's already starting this year. We have a relationship in place with these communities, over 8,000 people, and several other relevant stakeholders that helped us put together this agenda. In addition to all the humanitarian support as far as the pandemic goes, we managed to move on with the PVE, an education value program in the cities where we operate. We have approved and already started an innovative initiative that's called the Venture Philanthropy. We've invested in several or in some social funds, low carbon economy, and water treatment projects. These are two areas. This is the commitment to make some investments, and I'll be giving you further detail in future calls so that we can have some social impact as well. Before we move on to the Q&A session, I would just like to conclude by saying, to make a summary of the quarter. This was a quarter of several improvements and challenges at the same time. The long-term improvement was the construction of this new commercial area to expand our customer portfolio. This is very important for the company in years to come. I would like to once again state how committed we are to reduce the contingent liabilities. This is very important for the company. And at the same time, we're moving forward with that process to mitigate risks with Vivesti. That's the pension fund. That's the actuarial risk. The process keeps going. In the second half of this year, we'll be able to conclude the approval phase of that plan, and it will then be implementing the migration strategy and other risk mitigating practices. And finally, a very intense ESG agenda, not only the social and environmental, but also including diversity and governance fronts. Thank you very much. I think we can now start the Q&A session. Thank you. We'll now have a Q&A session. To ask questions over the phone, please press star 1. Antonio Junqueira from Citi asks the first question. Considering yesterday's events, don't you think the company could use that to invest elsewhere to generate value? Isn't that clear for you? I have another question. Can the company leave the MRE? Porto Primavera had the price adjustment for the rest of the auction. Thank you, Antonio, for your question. Let me try to address that. The first one is about Três Irmãos. We've never hidden from the marketplace that we're not interested in the final result. This may take another 10 years for that final verdict. We were not willing to expect to wait for that much. Recent events also impact the timing to renegotiate with the federal government. Not only the decision of the injunction yesterday, but also the death of the legal expert and the delays in the main case. Everything is being considered, Antonio. You're right. As we hear new information, as we have new information, we'll be making that available. Our focus today remains in this lower court case, dependent upon that report from a new legal expert to conclude that report and then address and reply to the federal government's requests. We'll keep the market informed. As to the second question about the MRE, we're not interested in leaving the MRE. CESPE's strategy includes being part of that consortium. As to assured energy, you're right, that's true. Because of the privatization, according to the rule, the revision was brought to 2019 and has been revised already. According to the average dispatch of the past 2 years, according to the ONS, we were slightly above the physical guarantee. That does not change our MRE strategy. Based on the contract from other concessionaries, long-term reduction, something that has already been contracted out, and even when Eletrobras is privatized, that would bring that revision even sooner for part of those Eletrobras assets. The next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning. I have two questions. One, going back to Antonio's questions, we're from a different perspective about Três Irmãos. As to the case that hasn't been analyzed, are you going to appeal yesterday's decision? Is that part of your strategy? So they are not going to allow that immediate payment. Are you going to go back to the entire case? I would like to better understand the legal strategy based on yesterday's results. My second question is about growth. You are working on or towards expanding your customer base. And what if the Três Irmãos asset, if it takes longer, you're already moving forward with the contingent liabilities negotiations, wouldn't that make sense to focus on growth more heavily this year? Thank you. Thank you, Carol, for your questions. Again, back to Três Irmãos. The decision that took place yesterday was about Chapter 7. Legally speaking, we could appeal yesterday's decision, but we haven't made any decision in that respect yet. This is something that our legal teams are discussing, but no decision has been made yet. Other factors must be considered as to whether we should appeal or move towards any sort of settlement. As to the growth strategy, most of our homework has been done. Of course, the market has been paying close attention that we are ahead of time in that homework in our base plan that started 2 years ago. Much has been done. There are still many challenges ahead, of course, but we're getting closer and closer to this new expansion phase and look at growth alternatives. It may frustrate the market to a certain extent, of course, but we are getting closer and closer to this new phase. Thank you. Joana Freire from Studio asks the following question. Thank you for your call. Could you detail these new contracts that were signed? What are the terms? What prices? What are the average prices for 3 to 5 year contracts? Hi, Joana. Thank you for your question. As to long-term contracts, we have no sales or terms restrictions. Our policy focuses from 3 to 5 years. Our focus this year, Joana, will be 2024, 2026. This is our main focus. In order to be transparent, we broke that down, the average prices. As to the spot price, I believe that's your question. There's a high bias. Contracts that were signed in recent days, the last week basically, are about R$155 and R$160 per megawatt hour, the average price for 2024, 2026, this 3 year period. They're higher for 2022, 2023, especially 2023. Next question, Mr. Frederico Castro from Mirante Investimentos. What's the legal negotiation of Ilha Solteira and Jupia plants? In the reference form, you said, after this initial decision that deemed the claim partially right or correct, the two parts are still waiting for a final decision. Could you elaborate on that, please? Hi, Frederico. Thank you for your question. At the second quarter or court, second 11 court, this is a case that will linger for some time. The two parts are discussing, but it's moving forward according to plan, following all the legal procedures and their times. As soon as we have more information, we'll make that available. There haven't been any major differences in that case. The next question from webcast comes from Leonardo Pava. Congratulations on your results. Are you interested in the privatization of EMAE? No, we're not. As to EMAE, we're not interested in privatizing it and bring that to assets that would have they do not have the best fit in terms of assets to ours. There may be other more interesting assets in our priority list. Webcast question from Gabriel Francisco from XP Investimentos. Do you have any preliminary strategy for growth? What about energy sources that the company would be willing to invest? Are you going to review your dividends policy? Do you consider that? Thank you for your questions. Let me address the first one. As to a growth strategy, it makes sense, or two things make sense. First, to supplement with another energy source. We've already discussed that with the market. Supplementing that energy with wind and solar energy, they're very supplemental seasonally here for the southeastern Brazil. There is a synergistic value to our projects. This synergy will be very positive. It's good not only for CESP, but for other companies that already have that integration. We also consider, Gabriel, we're also considering investing in hydroelectrical power plants, despite the hydrological risks. When you have prices that are adjusted to cover those risks, we don't have anything against expanding our assets in the hydrological arena. These are the two top fronts. Each of them has their own time. They are part of our growth strategy. As to the dividends policy, our policy is very pragmatic. Before that growth period, we keep on generating cash. We deleverage very quickly. We have high cash conversion. It does not make sense to pile up cash forever. And it doesn't make sense. We know we are under-leveraged. We have a very strong cash position. Before that growth phase that would require allocation of capital and more assets, we'll keep on paying dividends based on a safe and secure policy despite these difficult times. We'll keep on being good dividend payers. To ask a question, please press *1. Please hold. We're still collecting other questions. This concludes the Q&A session. I'll turn over to Mr. Mario Bertoncini for his final remarks. I would like to thank you for attending this earnings call and for the quality of your questions. There are several relevant fronts, and they were all pointed out during the presentation and the questions. We'll keep on being transparent, keeping the market informed of all the developments. Thank you very much. Have a good day. This concludes CESP's earnings call. Thank you for attending. Have a good day.